Welcome, everybody. My name is Sherry Sellers, and I'm the host of Making the Change Talk. Our podcast is for people who are thinking about or have started their journey to a tobacco-free life. In this episode, we're talking about one of the most important questions you'll ask yourself in your journey, and that is, what is your why? Our guest today is Coach John, who has been with the Quit Line for more than 10 years. John, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being on.
So let's start at the beginning. Why do we need a why?
That's a big question and a very important one, as you said. Motivation is elemental in this aspect to bring about change, not only change in our behavior, but to our thinking. So establishing our why is critical. It's one of the first things that you have to do when you're ready, when you're getting ready to take on reaching a goal or making changes to your lifestyle or, you know, to anything else. So it's essential that we establish why we're doing something. And your reasons, your motivation can come from different sources. You know, we know that the strongest motivation comes from within the individual. It's a deep intrinsic need that comes about to change or modify their behavior. It's not all about seeking reward or any outside gain, but to be fulfilled, to find a happiness or a sense of well-being. And that is usually the strongest why or reason to make change.
Because make no mistake, when you're in the heat of the battle of addiction and withdrawal, you need something, right? Something to visualize, something to internally cling to. This is not an easy journey.
Absolutely. Quitting tobacco use can be the hardest thing an individual takes on. It's an endeavor that needs some strategy, some planning, and support. It's hard to do it alone. It's hard to do anything alone, right, Sherry? So with the Quit Line and our team here, that's what we're here to do, to offer that support and understanding in a non-judgmental and partnering type of way. So, but when someone is establishing their why, we walk through that process. And as you mentioned, remembering and reminding oneself why I'm doing something, what's my motivation, what's my reason, is very important throughout the quit journey, throughout the process.
Now, John, I know you were a smoker. Can you tell us what was your why?
Yeah, for me personally, it was my health. To give you the full story, I was a young father at the time. I was 25 years old. I brand new baby, and I had a really terrible health report from my doctor. I was overweight. I had high blood pressure, and I was a tobacco user. And all those combination of things are not good, right? And as a father, I started to think about, how am I going to be around to raise my daughter? So I started making changes. I started with weight loss and followed in with trying to quit cigarette smoking. And that was the most challenging aspect of my of reaching my goal. But I was able to do that. And now 15 years later, I'm still quit using cigarettes, I'm happy to say. And again, to this day, though, I still have urges once in a while. I'm still reminded. And it's a little bit easier to overcome those triggers, those challenges, now that I have a lot of coping skills and a lot of time away from it. So something to look out for. I still gotta look over my shoulder once in a while to stay tobacco free.
Yeah. Well, I know that health is a why for lots and lots of people. And then there are those others who they think, what does it matter that I quit? I've been smoking for years. There's not going to be any impact on my body. I've done all the damage. I can't turn it around. Can you clear that up for us, John? If health is going to be your why, how soon do we start to see changes?
Oh, yeah. The benefits are almost immediately. So I'm happy you brought that up, Sherry. So for instance, in 20 minutes or within 20 minutes or after 20 minutes of quitting, your blood pressure decreases, your pulse rate drops, and your body temperature of your hands and your feet increases. So that means your circulatory system is kind of jumping back, rebounding a little bit. And that's just within 20 minutes. Now, 8 hours later, for instance, if you decided to quit right before work, by the end of your shift, the carbon monoxide levels in your blood drop to normal. Now, that's incredible to me. Your body is able to adjust and make that a transition rather quickly. It wants to be healthy. It wants to find that balance. And with also within that 8 hours, the oxygen level in your blood increases to normal. And within a day, 24 hours or so, the chance of heart attack decreases in an individual. That's amazing to me.
It is. And I hope that people are listening. Listen, it doesn't matter how long you've been smoking. It can have a great impact. It's like, oh, I'm hoping that one gets through, John. Another message that I know I try to share with my loved ones all the time is that if you're looking for a why, don't overlook secondhand smoke.
Absolutely right. Yeah. You know, we love our family, our spouses, our children, our friends, and sometimes we think this tobacco addiction is just our own. But it can leach over into our loved ones with secondhand smoke. For example, an individual might go outside thinking they're doing the best they can to limit the exposure of their tobacco. But if there's a window open or a draft or a breeze, it can carry those particles back into the home where, yeah, their significant others are, their children, their loved ones, and it impacts them. Those chemicals are all, you know, now vaporized and in the air, and they can go anywhere and travel anywhere. And there's also third-hand smoke. Sherry, I'd like to touch on that a little bit. So, for instance, if I was going to smoke outside and now that smoke is caught onto my garments, my clothing, or if I'm in my car alone smoking, but the windows are down, I think it's, you know, safe, or I'm being, you know, responsible in a manner. But those particles, again, will cling to the upholstery of the vehicle. And when the non-smoker comes into contact and you sit down in the seat or they hug you, those particles and those elements are, again, wafted up, and they can breathe them in. They can fall onto their skin as well. They can inhale that. So, yeah, secondhand and third-hand smoke are definitely something that we need to be cautious about. And could be real threats to individuals who don't even smoke or use tobacco directly.
Yeah, I'd not heard of third-hand smoke. That's interesting. I do know that secondhand smoke, that there's tons of medical evidence that shows that for people who've never smoked, that they can have heart disease, lung cancer, stroke, that babies exposed to secondhand smoke are more likely to die from SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome. So it is something that we all need to be aware of. It's so important.
Absolutely right. And that is something that our quit lying coaches are not, you know, it's not uncommon to hear these stories, these tragic stories, individuals who've witnessed firsthand and seen the impacts of secondhand smoke to their family members.
So, John, while we're talking about whys and some of the most popular whys, we got to mention money.
Oh, yeah. Money. That's right. Dollar bills. Well, as we know, we see many municipalities and state legislative bodies adding new tax increases on tobacco products. And we know that with each price hike, the consumption of tobacco products decrease. So these taxes are used as a deterrent of smoking in the effort to improve public health, kind of on a large major level. And it's proven to work. But on a more micro individual level, someone who is spending about the average $7 on a pack of cigarettes daily can save about $2,500 a year. That's a really big motivating factor for a lot of people in this economic climate. So with that additional money, they can use it to pay off bills. They can improve their financial situation really quickly. And in a sense, it goes back to that intrinsic deep motivation, right? They can gain a peace of mind, less worry, less stress, and that well-being increases in their life.
Yeah, John, I can imagine after 10 years on Quitline, I'm sure you've heard the stories of people who are making really difficult decisions because of money, because they needed the money to feed their addiction.
You're right. And that reminds me of a conversation I had with one of our participants long ago. But it still sticks out in my mind today about the decision-making process when you're under the influence of a drug, a chemical, and tobacco is a drug. This is an addiction we're dealing with. And Sherry, yeah, I've spoke with a young mother, a young single mother, hardworking, trying to, you know, meet ends and meet for her family. And she quit for her pregnancies. She wanted to give her children, you know, the best start in life, but reverted back to old behaviors and started using tobacco after the children were born. And it's common. It happens. And it's okay. We can help people from that position to get back to a place where they can quit confidently. But this young mother, she had a self-awareness and started to realize that she was skimping on daily necessities like extra diapers for her children just so she can save the money to buy her tobacco. And that really tore her up inside. It really scratched at that self-image as a really good mother that she was, as a hard worker, and something needed to be done. So yeah, she came to a place, we caught her up, she called into the quit line at her breaking point. She wanted to be the best mother she could be for her children, but also the strongest person she could be for them. I mean, maybe making some really healthy lifestyle changes.
Well, I thank you for sharing that. And we are cheering her on for sure. John, what about, as we're talking about wise, what about just living a better life, right? Being able to taste food, yet no smell of smoke. Give us that list that kind of all comes under better quality life.
Oh, yeah, right. So within changing, making this change, giving up tobacco, your energy rebounds, right? And when we're feeling fatigued and sluggish, we really don't want to do anything. So when you quit smoking, this bounce back that you feel like a rejuvenated, a new individual. And you're starting to find that you can manage your day-to-day activities a lot better. You're more inclined to spend your newfound time more wisely, doing the things you enjoy. You have additional financial security to purchase things that really matter to you that are not going up in smoke. And again, as you mentioned about the food, I know from my own experience that once I quit using tobacco, food tasted amazing. I wasn't just eating because I knew I was hungry. Now I enjoy food again. I could taste it, the different flavors, and I can smell it, of course, you know. So yeah, the small things that create the enjoyment in life, these tend to find all over again, which is exciting.
John, what are some of the whys we haven't talked about so far that you want to make sure that we include on the list?
Yeah. So we went through our financial security, gain that back, your family, yourself, from a sense of being stronger, being there for those you love. But we're also looking also to avoid and prevent illness. Prevent disease and pain in a sense, right? Because those things do cause discomfort when you think about respiratory diseases, emphysema or COPD, or even as we know, lung cancer. So it could be a very strong why or reason to give up tobacco just to make sure you are preventing those things from coming into your life and the life of those you love, because they're impacted too by your health, right? And your ability to have that quality of life is important, not only for yourself, but those around you. Because most of the time we don't do anything alone. We are not alone or on an island. And then tobacco use impacts all areas of life. And so when you quit using tobacco, it has the greatest reverse effect. It has an awesome and positive impact on all areas of life when you do quit.
John, for those who may be listening and going, I don't have a why. Is it okay if you don't have a why?
Oh, yes. Good question. It is certainly okay if you don't have a reason just yet or your why to quit using tobacco. It takes time to get to a place of readiness. And here at the Quit Line, we understand that. So we're here to support the individual and affirm that control, their autonomy, right, over their decision to quit or even not to quit, or if they're just not ready, they're thinking about it. We're here to help them in any aspect of that journey, at any stage. And we can support and help them navigate through that period of, I'm not sure yet, or I don't know, ambivalence. And hopefully with enough support and genuine understanding from our quitline coaches, we're ready to help them get to that place of readiness. And then it moves from why to how. So we're definitely prepared to have those conversations with the individuals that we help.
John, from some of the stories you've heard on quitline, have you heard interesting ways that people embrace their why that makes it even stronger? For example, if you have a loved one who maybe they've died because of their addiction, if you carry their photo, or do you have any tips for us, John? Help us out.
Yeah, fantastic question. As we said earlier in the conversation, it's important to have those reminders and consistently and constantly see them through your quit journey. It can help give you that boost of energy, you know, when you wake up and maybe you put a post-it note on your bathroom mirror, and, you know, maybe you're looking at the monetary aspect of your why. So you're tallying up the money that you're saving, or even physically putting cash or coins into a jar to see the impact of your quitting process. You know, with every cigarette you don't smoke, or whatever tobacco product you're using, whatever pod you don't use or that you don't purchase, you could put that money away. Others, like you said, keep a little sentimental items, things of value, personal value. It could be a picture or a coin, a memory, something like that, to continue to help them establish that motivation and carry on way beyond the initial phase of trying to quit or thinking about it. But now they're trying to sustain that effort and sustain that intensity. But that's also an important part of being motivated. You want to take that approach and consistently have that desire through the journey. Post-its, sentimental things that have sentimental value are very important, or just conversations with the people that are impacted by your quit efforts. I talk to a lot of participants who include their family members, their kids, into their strategies to quit using tobacco. So if they want to spend less time smoking or using vaping or whatever their tobacco product activity was, they'll now replace that with time spent with their loved ones. They will engage more in fun and games with their children, you know, going to the park more often or reading more stories at night instead of going outside to have that cigarette before bed. So again, finding those alternatives can be very helpful as well.
John, we have time for one more question. And I think maybe we should use this time as a reminder that even with the best why in the world, that sometimes you can slip. And what do you want to say to encourage us that doesn't mean there was something wrong with the why or you, that this happens and that you can still have a successful journey?
Absolutely right, Sherry. Slips are sometimes part of the process. And despite our best efforts, this addiction can get the best of us. But we learn from those incidents, right? Don't take them as failures, but take them as learning experiences and what we can do differently the next time it approaches us, because believe it or not, it will happen again, right? That trigger or that scenario will come about again and give you another opportunity to face it head on, more prepared, strengthened, and more confident, knowing that you can get through that hurdle once again, because there's going to be many hurdles, many pitfalls along the way. So slips are very common, and it's not something to beat yourself up about. It's something to really find some awareness from, establish some new strategies, some new tactics. It's a really good part to, you know, do some retrospective or introspective thinking. And now that you have that hindsight, it will help you move forward so you're more successful for the long term.
Well, John, I can see why you've been a coach for 10 years. You are amazing. I thank you so much for joining us. And to those who are listening in, I thank you too. We hope you'll listen to our next conversation on Making the Change Talk. Please remember, the quit line is here for you 24/7. When you're ready to make the change or need support or talk about your why, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW or click on the Enroll Now link on the podcast homepage. Thank you again, everybody.